ho, howdy, y'all, and welcome back to another episode of the Oklahoma Today podcast. I'm web editor Greg Elwell with my co-host, managing editor Carly Ibarra.
Hello.
And editor-in-chief Nathan Gunner. Happy, as always, to tell you about the very best in Oklahoma. This week we are talking with one of those very best Oklahomans.
The best Oklahoma.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Best Oklahoma.
I don't know about that.
I feel like Reba is somewhere.
She's way below
several.
No way. But
we're with Oklahoma State Parks outgoing programs manager Tom Kreider, who joined the tourism department back in 1973.
That's right, Greg. Yes.
Wow.
Many ways, it just seems like yesterday, truly. I mean, I have memories that are very vivid of those first days. And,
yeah.
You know, the time goes so fast. And, you know, the working for this agency and the people I've worked with currently and then worked for years ago, I mean, it's a special family in this agency.
Okay.
The common mission that we have in serving our state and helping people become more aware of their state through the stories like Oklahoma Today does every issue, the photography, images that just welcome people to the Oklahoma outdoors, and in course in my case with state parks. And what a gift it is to have a career in this profession. And that's how I feel, is very grateful for the opportunity to work for this agency and for our state. And the constant has just been the people. I mean, the people I worked for in those very first years, all through my career up to right now, everybody is, I mean, it's just been a wonderful opportunity to work for a terrific bunch of people and with a terrific bunch of people. So I'm very grateful, Greg.
Is there anything that you have seen? I mean, obviously you've seen plenty of changes in all those years, but is there anything that you kind of look at, you point to, and you're really proud of that you were a part of that change in our Parks Department?
Well, I mean, I started in 1973 as part of a 5-year planning team. And it was brought together by then State Parks Director Chris Delaporte and then my immediate director boss, Kirk Breed, and they had the vision of trying to map out the course of where parks should be 5 years from 1973. And so that was part of, I mean, I was part of a field survey team, so I got the chance to see parks in parts of our state that I'd never been to before. And so, you know, through the career, I've had a chance to be part of the Trails program, which is an avenue for many people to experience firsthand the state parks, but also the outdoors. So that opportunity was wonderful to me. But I think the thing that's changed over time is that our public is much more in tune with the opportunities and appreciation of the natural beauty and diversity of our state, the cultural stories that are embedded in every park and every region of our state. And so I think that's been really the exciting part of, not that I've had any direct hand in any of this, but just being able to see all those things that have transpired in these last 47 some years. The people are more in tune, I think, with the Oklahoma out of doors and how appreciative of our biodiversity. And then just the partnerships with other agencies, whether it's the Wildlife Department, whether it's the Department of Environmental Quality and Conservation Commission. I mean, we have a lot of partnerships, State Department of Education, in terms of the programs that we're offering. We've done a lot of things with State Department of Ed on science camps and curriculum materials that hopefully will provide students in classroom with opportunities to at least visually see parts of our state that they may have never experienced, and virtually experience a field trip to a wildlife refuge in a park.
Absolutely.
So, but you know, the things that Oklahoma Today magazine and Discover Oklahoma, I mean, you make these things come to life. And that's, you know, the content of the magazine and the stories you tell with each issue, the photography that I mean, I know Susan Dragoon.
Yeah. I slipped Tom about $20.
Yeah.
I mean, well, people, you know, people need to know what's out there, and you all tell that story so well. So.
Well, but we wouldn't have a story to tell
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you, so
well, it's
I'm
a partnership.
Curious, Tom, I've been wanting to, ever since we decided to have you on the show and you so graciously agreed, I've been wondering if there's a place in a state park that you just kind of keep coming back to. Like, if there's one particular spot in our state park system that you think, oh, everybody should just go there.
Well, you know, it's oftentimes I've asked my favorite park, you know, and it's truly, I can say it's the park I'm in.
Yeah.
And a lot of it for me is having places in a park, and this can be any park, where you have a chance to just be quiet and still and have a chance for reflection. And so that can be really any place. For me, you know, I tend to want to be on high ground, maybe overlooking a vista.
Yeah.
You know,
Okies
so
love a view.
Yeah.
So
people
places
view
like that. But you can get that along a Babbling Creek in Beavers Bend State Park, you know, and other places where it's quiet and you have a chance to just kind of slow down. I mean,
yeah.
You know, Scott Momaday, you know, the Pulitzer Prize novelist and poet, and he just said there's, I'm paraphrasing, but basically you owe it to yourself at some points of time to just basically slow down and give thought to remembered earth. And, you know, every place in our state has a story, has stories to tell of those who went before us that were right there at that very place, maybe a century ago or more.
Yeah.
And state parks provide that opportunity to step back in time, have a sense of place, be reflective. So to me, those are the opportunities to kind of recharge my personal battery. And that can be in any park, any in wildlife refuges and other places that where you kind of can reconnect with nature. And so that's, I know I'm not giving you a direct answer, Nathan.
Well, and I know you can't play favorites, obviously, but is there a park that you have gone to the most and a park that you would like to go to more?
Well, the place that I didn't get to go to prior to working for the department, but through this opportunity I've been to multiple times, is Black Mesa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the top of that mesa is just, it's its own world.
Yes.
You have to give some effort to getting to the top. It's a 4.5 mile hike to the top.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that is a place of special solitude and just the, I don't know, the connection with times past. Dinosaur tracks are right there nearby. You're standing on a tabletop flat plateau that was once a creek bed that was covered with lava, magma, that became that basalt that protected the ground below it. And so all the high ground that flanked it millions of years ago is all washed away.
Yeah.
And you're standing there thinking, you know, where did it all go?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you can really feel eternity out there because
honestly.
Of that exact thing. Yeah.
Well, and you're also literally out of time with the rest of the state because it's mountain time.
Mountain time, yeah.
That's why I was always an hour late or early or something, huh? But no, and of course you see a night sky there, like, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's up there above us every night. We just can't see it.
There's something that for all the, I don't want to say trouble, because it's not that bad to get out there, but it's a hike.
You have to make an effort.
Yeah.
You've got to, like, dedicate a few days to go out there and come back. But I don't know. It's just so, it's like the ultimate reset button out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just because you're, you know, there's hardly any cell signal, there's hardly any internet, there's no busy streets, there's no noise. You know, even some state parks that are awesome, they're like, Thunderbird is right near Norman. So there's always a little bit of something, you know, and it doesn't decrease the enjoyment of the park. It's awesome, but Black Mesa is just so quiet.
Yes.
You know, and so still.
Right. Right.
And it's just really something. I can't encourage people enough to go there.
It's a special place.
Yeah.
So if you had the opportunity to take any famous Oklahoman, alive or dead, to any state park, which one?
Carly's trying to pin me down here.
Yeah.
Oh golly, I don't know. I mean, every park has got specialness about it. Uh-huh. I guess with my first year with the department, and I was on this planning team. I was with a group of three other fellows, and we were part of the field team, if you would, and bringing back information to the staff that was putting it all on the drafting board. And we got snowed in at Osage Hills.
Uh-huh. Mm.
This very time of year, maybe it was right after Christmas, but we got snowed in there. And one of the members of the group had a camera, set it up on a timer, and I've got a treasured picture of the four of us sitting at a picnic table.
Oh, wow.
It's covered with snow, and it was 1974. And so that park really is meaningful to me. This department, my work for the department, I met the love of my life. I met my wife, Ann, at Quartz Mountain.
I didn't know that.
She was teaching middle school home ec, junior high home ec at Carl Albert Junior High in Midwest City. And just on a lark, saw a newspaper ad asking for camp counselors for that. It was a youth conservation corps in 1975, first year that Oklahoma had that camp. It was a resident camp at Quartz Mountain, and they had 40 high schoolers from all over the state, and she was one of the counselors. Well, the director and his wife were best friends of mine, and they did a little bit of matchmaking. I went down there to help on a trail project they were working on while there, and so I met Ann there, and of course that changed my life tremendously. So all that to say, Quartz Mountain's a special.
That is awesome.
So did I give you, Carly, did I? Quartz Mountain, Osage Hill. Now let's see, we've got about 30 more to go here.
I know.
That's amazing, too, is I do feel like you could go through, I feel like you of almost, there are very few people who I think could probably do this, but I think you're one who could go through a list of all of Oklahoma's state parks, current and former, and tell us something special and unexpected about all of them.
Well, and it's indicative of Oklahoma, too, because, like, every different park has something different to offer because our ecoregions are all so varied. Mm-hmm. So it's, you don't get the same experience at any two parks.
No, the natural diversity. And, I mean, for me, it's the people that I associate with that place, too. And that's just like families who have places where they go to a park and there's a memory there. You know, we got the park passport, the little booklet that is encouraging people and families to go to parks. And, of course, the more they see, the more stickers they get for their little booklet. But, you know, we've had feedback from those families saying, you know, we're seeing parts of the state we never went to before.
I
we got on this quest. And so, you know, you tie places to memories to these places and then the people that you've met along the way.
Yeah.
So that's certainly true for me.
Wow. I think it's really interesting this year, you know, in 2020 with everything that's been going on, and we don't have to recap, but I do love that Oklahoma State Parks have seen visitation almost like never before.
Yeah, that's right. Record numbers.
And it makes sense. You know, obviously you can go to outdoor spaces, but I think, don't you think there's something more to it than that?
Yeah, I think people are wanting to reconnect, you know. I think that you're absolutely right, Nathan. I think they want to, you know, kind of get back to maybe the family unit and shared experiences with that family. Everybody, I think, is recognizing that time is very fleeting. And so if you're going to take that family trip to some park or other destination in our state, now's the time to do it.
That's what's so cool, too. You know, I feel like one thing, I don't want to say cool about this year, but one thing that is interesting to me about this year is that, you know, that idea of that family trip maybe in 2019 might have been, oh, let's wait until we can go to Disney World. And now it's, okay, well, we can't or choose not to fly, most people.
Right.
So where can we go that we can just get in the car and drive? And that's here. And I think people are really discovering in a new way how cool Oklahoma is, how full of things it is to do.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And just how there's kind of something magical around every corner.
Exactly. I mean, it's the natural world. It's the communities of the state. Mm-hmm. It's a fabric of our lives that, you know, it's... being a native Oklahoman, you know, Tulsa's near and dear, but I've lived here in the Oklahoma City metro for the last, 48 years, the more towns we have a chance to see, the more experiences we get to, do through the magazine and all the culinary treats that await us, right?
That's our favorite part.
Yeah. You're right. And so it's all good, and there's lots to do here. You can make great vacations right here in Oklahoma.
You really can. I gotta ask, what is your retirement gonna look like? What are you gonna do?
Well, of course, I've got deferred maintenance on my home in Midwest City, so that'll be a priority.
We all do.
And being available to my family, both my daughters and sons-in-law and family are in Tulsa, so got some school-age grandchildren that I want to be more available to help, especially this year, the challenges that everyone's facing with distance learning and in classroom kind of being back and forth. So I'll do those things as a priority, but mm-hmm. I'll be volunteering at parks, and we've got a State Park Foundation. It's 501c3 nonprofit, which is an opportunity for people to gift, donate to help with some of our park programs, restoration of some of the historic Civilian Conservation Corps built structures in these original state parks, seven state parks. So I do hope to be able to be of help to the Park Foundation. So those are kind of, and then, have vaccine, we'll travel. So, so later in the year, hopefully do a little more traveling.
Yeah. Oh, we hope so. That's great.
Well, you really inspire us, and I'm not just flattering you, like you really do with your dedication to this department.
Thank you,
Carly. So I was just wondering, like, who inspires you?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. It's the people I work with. I mean, honestly, it's all of you. It's the people in parks and Discover Oklahoma and all of the facets of our agency. Honestly, you all are the source of inspiration to me, and I say that sincerely.
Oh, so. It's amazing. I mean, I'm amazed at this department and how people here love their state and just mm-hmm. really want to care for it and, mm-hmm. Do good things for it.
Right.
Yeah.
We lean on each other and we help each other. That's what it's all about.
It's a really good place to work, and it's really good work to do.
No, yes, it is. Yeah. It's important work that we do.
Agreed. Thank you so much, Tom.
Thank you,
we wish
Nathan,
you all the best in your
Greg,
retirement.
Carly,
yes,
thank you.
We hope so much that you will come back and visit us and see
okay,
us.
Okay, thank you.
We just think
I'll do
the
it.
World of you.
Well, right back at you. Thank you, and thanks for this invitation.
Well,
we're going to miss him.
We are.
He's good people.
What an amazing guy. And
what an amazing career.
Yeah. And not to say that the amazement's over, but now it's time to amaze each other with how funny we are.
I guess we'll see.
On our weekly events.
You know who I think we should make go first?
Carly. Yeah.
Oh, well, you're going to be disappointed by this just has actual information in it.
It's going to be a fun event. How can anyone possibly?
That's true. It is a really fun event, and this I would actually go to because it is like a mile down from my house. So as
doesn't
we all know,
much to get you out the door, Carly.
No, it doesn't. Just a very short distance. So as most of us know, this year has been nothing if not memorable, for better or worse.
Something happened this year.
A few things. Make sure your family finishes 2020 with plenty of good memories with a visit to UConn's Christmas in the Park. Every night through New Year's Eve from 6 to 11 p.m., visitors to Chisholm Trail Park can stay in their cars or walk around and marvel at more than 500 light displays, including a unicorn and a juggling dragon. I've never seen one of those before.
What's it juggling? The unicorn?
I'm guessing, snowballs or something. Yeah. admission is free, but donations are welcome. Call 405-350-8937 for more information.
Is that the really pretty one you can see from I-40?
I don't know if you can see it from I-40 because it's pretty far away from the highway, but it is huge.
There's one you can see when you go through UConn on I-40. You can see one right there, and it's really nice.
Well, it must be that one then because there's only one in UConn. But I will warn people ahead of time, make sure and get there early because you'll be waiting in your car for a while. So it's a very, very popular event.
Good to know.
Do we know definitively that Earth is not being attacked annually by alien invaders whose only weakness is twinkly lights and liquefied chocolate beverages? No. we don't. Which is why it's at the very least not false to say that the REMA Christmas Lights Extravaganza at REMA Bible Church in Broken Arrow might have saved humanity from mass extinction each year since 1982. Through January 1st, you can...
that makes total sense to me.
Yeah. You can enjoy more than 2 million potentially extraterrestrial killing lights for free daily from 5:30 to 11:30 p.m. Are the available carriage rides, prices ranging from $10 to $50, also keeping hordes of xenomorphs from spraying everyone with face-melting acid? That's up to you to decide. Visit REMA Lights, REHEMALights.org, or call 918-289-1607 for all of the alien killing details.
So it sounds like you have a responsibility as a citizen of Earth to visit this event.
Basically, that sounds about right. Actually, I've never been to that particular light show, but I've always heard it's amazing. Like, REMA Bible Church is supposedly one of the best light shows in the state.
Well, you don't kill Romulans without some really great displays.
Well, that's fair. I made you go before me because we all three had light show write-ups, which there's a lot of light shows this year and they're fun. I get it. Mm-hmm. Also, I should say that before you came in earlier, Carly and I were complaining about how hard it is to write about light shows, and there you just went and killed it. So now I have to go by asking an age-old question. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin?
4.
18.
Well, as a seminary dropout, I can tell you, I actually have the answer to this. It's either a lot or none, or it's 1, or it's 4, or it's 18. I think I dropped out of seminary before they were actually able to give me that, to cover that. So, I couldn't tell you how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, but I can tell you that there will be a lot of angels dancing, cavorting, and spreading holiday cheer in Ponca City, and you can actually be one of these angels by visiting between December 21st and 30th to the Festival of Angels with 3 destinations across this delightful northern Oklahoma town. And Ponca City's awesome. Like, it's just a fun place to go. This free festival is a great socially distanced way to get your Christmas on. At Lake Ponca Park, the Lacan Memorial Gardens, and the famous Pioneer Woman statue, this colossal display of holiday cheer is just the thing to put a smile on the face of anyone in your household. Call 580-749-1235 or visit facebook.com/Ponca City Holiday for more info.
So, Spiro Mounds in eastern Oklahoma has long fascinated and vexed history buffs in equal measure.
History puffs.
History puffs.
Worst snacks ever.
So much so, in fact, that we have a story about it in our November-December issue. Well, look at that.
We do. It's a good story.
Mm-hmm. But the best way to experience anything is to see it firsthand. During the winter solstice walks on December 21st at the Spiro Mounds Archaeological Center, archaeologist Dennis Peterson leads a tour through the mounds, discusses their importance to the ancient Caddo peoples, and explains the importance of this celestial event. Admission is $7 to $12. So if you want to find out more about this, call 918-962-2062 or visit okhistory.org/sites/Spiro Mounds to learn more. And this is a really, really cool event, and it's a good way to socially distance also because it's such a huge place and it would be really easy to be spaced out.
And it's so fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just love those winter solstice walks are cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, folks, 2020 has been a hard year for all of us without perfect eyesight. Other stuff has happened, but let's be clear. It's not fun to be constantly reminded that you need corrective lenses every time you look at a calendar. Thankfully, Guthrie's Pollard Theater recognizes the burden of those of us with an astigmatism with this year's A Territorial Christmas Carol. Rather than ask us to fog up our glasses while wearing a mask to enjoy this annual tradition, the Pollard has made this year's show an online virtual performance available to view anytime through December 31st. In years past, it's been extremely frowned upon to get up on stage to, quote, get a better look at the costumes, but now you can watch at home on your own high-def big screen, pausing and really getting a pixel-by-pixel look at this adaptation of Chuck Dickens' story. Visit thepollard.org for tickets.
Good old Chucky Dickie.
Oh, Chucky Dick.
Yep. I also like that extended dad joke you just did there.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
Much.
Yeah. So, Speaking of, Carly, you mentioned celestial sights. Mm-hmm. So speaking of celestial sights, a full moon is a lovely sight. Romanose State Park has just the thing. The full moon night hike on December 26th. Bring a walking stick, a liter of water, and warm, comfortable clothing. Not a joke. Seriously, bring a walking stick, bring a liter of water, and dress warmly for this four-mile trek up to Inspiration Point in one of Oklahoma's original and very cool state parks. Call 580-623-2538 or visit travelok.com for more info. I love that. Actually, you know, when I was after the interview, when it got done, I told Tom that I actually did do a science camp and we went to Romanose State Park and we did that exact same hike.
Yeah.
And we learned about geology. It'll be too dark to like see layers of rock, but it'll still be a lot of fun.
I love Romanose.
I do too. It's such a good mine too. I love it.
And it's like an hour drive. It's not that far.
It's nothing. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for letting us into your ears for another week. They are mostly clean, and we appreciate the effort. If you appreciate our efforts, do us a favor and rate and review us at Apple Podcasts, which, for medical reasons, is the only way to rate the podcast online.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you directly,
too. If you give it 4 stars or below, I will literally die.
We would love to hear from you directly, so email your questions and comments to oktpod@travelok.com. You can also email questions and comments to other addresses, but they're much less likely to reach us. So,
sure.
We'll talk to you again next week, I suppose.
Yes.
All right. See you guys.
Goodbye.